Welcome to the Self-Study Project, a podcast to deepen your practice through reflection with co-hosts Jenna Baird and Stephanie Gibson. Stay tuned after we wrap up for some added info and Q&A.
So we've got the holiday season coming up. It's the fall. It's a time of back to school and, of course, Halloween and therefore Halloween candy. Thanksgiving and all of the delicious food traditions that that entails. Christmas and New Year's. So while it's actually a really excellent time to do things seasonally and food availability, it's a great time to do cleansing, even though it's not the most common time to cleanse because of all of these influences that we have, you know, back to school. A lot of people choose the new year to do cleanses. So do I, you know, but we're going to be talking today about the social impact of change. You know, there's a different way to handle it at each time of year. You know, during the summer, you've got the barbecue influence and the 4th of July and the parties. And if you have decided to make healthy changes in your life, it's going to have a social impact, but how to handle that. So we're going to be talking a little bit about the holiday social impact. It might bring up some anxiety due to the frequent opportunities to indulge in things that you don't traditionally eat. And you want to maintain your social life, you want to maintain your family relationships, but without jeopardizing a body imbalance. Maybe you've worked hard to get to where you're at. Maybe you're just starting to try to make and implement these changes. So really, I would say that when you move forward and you're attending some of these family events or participating in the holiday season, the most important factor is to honor the differences between you all. So you may have unique dietary needs, whether that be gluten-free, vegan, non-GMO, low-glycemic, whatever your individual needs, vegetarian, pescatarian, lacto-ovo, all of the different varieties, all the different titles. You need to honor your own needs and you need to recognize that they are important, but not everybody's going to be living that way. And therefore, you have a responsibility to allow them to be the way they are, but also to hold your own. So we don't want basically to show up and start talking about how sad you are that you can't eat the pie and how delicious the meat looks, but you can't eat it anymore. Or basically creating an example that says, I eat this way, but I don't like to eat this way. Or that I'm suffering because I've made these choices. Or that you guys all get to eat the delicious stuff and I'm left with this over here. That's a very important personal responsibility that one has when you are leading with example. Believe it or not, the people who are looking at the choices you're making that are different to theirs, they are curious, even if their first response is to defend their own position by judging yours. This is a very common experience. Just walk that walk and do it tall and bring delicious things that reflect your choices and then move forward without trying to demonstrate the suffering or that, you know, the pity or the sorrow that you have in not being able to have something. I do understand that if you are, you know, going to have a blood test and all of a sudden you have to fast, you're not too excited about it and you're not going to want to go to breakfast with somebody eating a delicious meal, you're going to feel like you're suffering. But if these are lifestyle changes that are for your betterment, to keep your body in balance, whatever that unique personal need and balance looks like. For some people, a bite of dairy can throw them off for quite a while, and other people, it's a glimpse of nuts, or it's a, you know, they don't balance well with too much animal protein, whatever your individual things are, move forward and hold your own and lead by example, because you know that these choices are going to improve your life. Which leads to kind of another really important factor, is you also don't want to go to these events and start preaching. Preaching why people should be not eating what they're about to eat. There's something I've always said in my practice, and that is, if you're going to eat the cookie, love the cookie. Because if you start talking about how the cookie's going to add to your hips, and oh, this is probably not something I should have, and oh, it's going to make me feel bad, then it's going to live up to your expectations. That's just the nature of the water molecules in the food, changing the water molecules in your body, or literally it's just that thoughts become things. If you have a negative outlook on something, it's going to live up to your expectations. Just as if you're choosing to eat that cookie and indulge in the cookie, then have the cookie with so much joy and excitement and enthusiasm, and it won't affect you negatively. It's the same theory of, if you have to go to bed early because you're supposed to wake up really early, and then you end up with insomnia. If you're laying there dreading waking up, and it's going to be so horrible, and it's going to be so challenging, that's exactly what's going to happen. But if you're laying there with insomnia, with this like confidence that you're still somehow going to be able to wake up completely energetic, rejuvenated, and move forward, that's usually what happens as well. So with the cookie, eat the cookie, love the cookie. But if you are, you know, there's a turkey and you're a vegetarian, and you start talking about your belief systems, either on health or ethics, about the turkey, you're not only going to create tension between you and the other guests, but it's not going to sit well with them. It's going to just create disharmony in an area, in a time where you're supposed to be coming together. Same with gluten. You know, if you are gluten-free, and if you've made that decision to be gluten-free, you've probably researched it a little bit to understand why you're making those choices. And if everybody else is completely happy in their bliss of their bread that is different than your bread, just let them be there. And if they have questions about the bread that you brought, which you've made and you're really happy about, or you bought your favorite one and you'd like to share it with people, go ahead and let them know, but let them ask. I remember when I first graduated from school, I preached to everyone about everything I now knew. And it really it's not the way to go. You know, when people are eating a really large piece of cake and you want to talk to them about blood sugar and gluten and non-GMO ingredients, you know, it's not the right time. Let them ask you questions and allow them to watch you, but be prepared that anytime people change around you, it's usually met with resistance initially. So, what's that really funny meme or quote, is that, you know, everybody becomes health experts the moment you start talking about using natural remedies. Like, oh, I don't think that's good, but they will use pharmaceuticals with a list of consequence without any question asked. So be prepared for that. So honoring your differences. Another thing is to, you know, we kind of touched on a little bit, but come prepared. You know, especially if you're going to be dining out, or it's not an event where you have brought, it's not, you know, not an appropriate event for you to bring your own dishes or something like that. There are little things that you can bring that make your meal more rich, make your meal a little bit easier to handle, whether that be going out to eat, or just bring these few things to somebody's house. If they are like, no, 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 don't make anything, I'm going to make it all. Maybe they've even asked you, do you have any special dietary needs? There's a few things you might want to bring. Avocado is a really, really great one. If I am going to, a hosted like picnic or dinner, or even with a restaurant, you know, to bring avocado, because you know how expensive it is for them to put a portion of an avocado on top of anything you've ordered. But, and if you don't end up using it, it's still fine. It's just sitting there in its nice little nature package. Dippers, any kind of dips, whether that be salsa, some sort of dip that is appropriate to you, guacamole, sliced carrots and cucumbers, bell peppers, this sort of crudité type platter, and dips that are supportive to your dietary needs, whether that be dairy free. You know, there's, I have some recipes I'll post to our Instagram that, you know, is basically almond or cashew based, and you can take it to jalapeno, to ranch, to all kinds of different things, sunflower seeds or hemp seeds. There's a lot of different choices. Tamari is another good one. If you're going to maybe sushi in Japan is a celebratory meal. So if you're having a celebration because of the holidays and you're going out for that, maybe bringing your own tamari. Homemade salad dressings. You know, if you're to a point where you've become really conscious about food preservatives, additives, gluten, which is commonly added to salad dressings, by the way, there are less than optimal ingredients added to the majority of commercial salad dressings. And especially if you're going somewhere where there's going to be a lot of people, it would be quite expensive for that host, especially if they don't normally eat this way, to have a bunch of those alternative natural-based dressings since they're so expensive. So bringing a homemade salad dressing, or even bringing a few ingredients and your NutriBullet and just whipping something up and showing them how easy it is to make, or buying one if you need to. It could be used as a condiment over a dish that would otherwise be boring. Whether, let's say that they know how to make rice, they know how to make veggies, and so that's what they've made for you because they're not as familiar perhaps with how to make other very delicious or complex dishes. That salad dressing could top over those and make yourself a little bowl. And then when in doubt, you know, if you're struggling, you know, staying with your new choices because of the influence of what's around you, ask yourself not what should I eat, but how do I want to feel? So ask not what should I eat, but instead ask yourself, how do I want to feel? Because that's going to remain your governor, so to speak, and help you eat for longevity and not immediate gratification. It will help you keep going because you know that in this moment, does having this really make or break the experience that I'm trying to have here? Because a lot of our social experiences revolve around food and drink. So if we look at what we're seeking when we maybe go out to eat, it's usually the company of the people. So you would be quite surprised when you are doing a cleanse and you're really convicted and you're able to even go out to eat with people while on a cleanse. It ultimately comes down to the fact that it's because all you are really seeking was their company and the people. So so note that, you know, your people are there, you've got companionship, and that's really what's most important, and hold your conviction. And again, with positivity, sturdiness, and a lack of judgment to them, as well as being prepared for them to give you criticism, especially, you know, if you've always eaten meat and now all of a sudden you're choosing not to. There's some cruel, unintentionally cruel things that your family may even do by trying to put it in front of your face and these kinds of things. So be prepared for that and just be steadfast and keep going. Other things that help during the holidays is things like gluten-free pie crust. You can bring gluten-free pie crust, and if you're open to what it's filled with, like let's just say that is your only dietary need is the gluten-free factor, and you're willing to eat what sugar or whatever types of sweetener that they are planning to use, Then you bring the gluten-free pie crust. They are whipping up the filling. They've got their own crust for their lemon meringue or their pumpkin or their pecan pie. And then you just put a portion into yours. And there it is. Or bring one ready-made if that's important, especially if you're vegan, because a lot of the pies are not vegan. So bringing that. Always considering bringing enough to be able to share, because sometimes people will never have had the opportunity to try a gluten-free, vegan jalapeno cheddar roll, let's just say. And it's so easy and delicious to make. It's a quick bread, and therefore it's something you don't have to have rise, and it's absolutely delicious. Pulls apart, and I'll post the recipe before the holidays on our Instagram, The Self Study Project, and on our Facebook, The Self Study Project. But be prepared to bring enough to share, because you could very well introduce something to somebody that they now want to take on. So always be prepared to reflect the health that you seek and helping other people get there. So this is just really a brief conversation on the social impact of change, being prepared in ways that you didn't necessarily anticipate, because we know that it's hard enough to make the choice yourself, let alone have the influence of other people on you. But there is a strange strength that will come over you if you're prepared for it and you allow it, you don't go into it with dread. There's a strength that will come over you when you are the one being different and leading the change. So move forward this holiday season, remembering how you want to feel and the reasons that you're making the choices that you make. And if you choose to eat the cookie, love the cookie, whatever cookie it is, and it will do you better. We look forward to having you on our next episode, and happy fall. Since this podcast initially aired, we've had some wonderful questions emailed, and I would like to take the time to address them as they come in. So the question had to do with protein and Thanksgiving. So, if you are a vegan or a vegetarian and you are going to family Thanksgiving, and there's going to be turkey and ham and all that kind of stuff, and you are prepared with the first couple recommendations of not emoting the judgment and dissatisfaction to what they're choosing to eat, because sometimes it's an ethical reason and other times it's just health related as to why you are not eating the animal protein. But if you are new to this vegan or vegetarian world and you're wanting to know what you can do for your protein at these meals, in brief, because it's kind of a lengthy topic, there is plenty of protein found in your plant foods. So you don't need something that in your standard meal plating programming that we've received our entire life, where you have to have your starch and your protein and your veggies and these kinds of things. You don't have to have what one might deem as the protein portion of this meal, because there's plenty of protein as long as you eat enough variety in plant foods. We don't find protein deficient people in developed countries, and you often find that it's men are consuming about four times the amount of protein than they need to function, and women are closer to three times the protein than they need. So you can first start to reevaluate the programming that you have to have this protein food that sits there on its own in your dish. That said, if you're going to a barbecue, your people are having hamburgers, that kind of thing, and you want that experience. You want that thing that goes inside the bread and has the pickles and the tomatoes and that kind of thing. You can do things like make your own vegetarian burger that is quinoa and black bean and spices and things like that. There's a recipe on my Instagram, I believe it is, which is Beyond the Mat Yogi, for a delicious black bean burger. And while there is no nutritional need, again, to replace the protein from a hamburger to some sort of protein hamburger-like item, there are things like the Beyond Meat products where, and I'm not affiliated with them or anything, but they have the least amount of bad ingredients when it comes to meat replacement type foods. They are a great choice, and they make sausages and brats and ground meat-like things that you can do. You can absolutely make it all from whole foods yourself, because all of these meat-like replacement products, they are products. They are still a processed food, and likely you've made these health changes because you don't want to eat processed, synthetic, non-natural foods. So therefore, making your own, you know, patties, for example, or in as long as you're, it's not going to negatively affect your individual health with regards to certain cancers, there's tofu products. Non-GMO is extremely important when it comes to soy products. So there's tempeh, which is one of the better choices when it comes to eating soybean products, would be a tempeh burger or a tempeh strips and product and things like that. But these things that, you know, I won't mention brands that look like a turkey and they kind of sound like a turkey, but they're not a turkey, you just don't nutritionally need it. If it's about inclusion, if it's actually because you miss the experience of having your own thing, then absolutely. Again, if you're going to eat the cookie, love the cookie, have your turkey-like thing if you'd like to. Bring your alternative product, but it is not nutritionally necessary for you to include this invisible programming that we have for this protein food. There's plenty if you're eating the variety. So I hope that answers the question. There's a whole lot to talk about when it comes to vegetarian protein sources, for this podcast, I would just want to answer your questions, and just so that you know, it is not a necessary replacement thing. Feel free to email your questions, theselfstudyproject@gmail.com. I received a comment, kind of a question, regarding this previous episode on the social impact of change and surviving the holiday season with your friends and family when your dietary and lifestyle needs are different than theirs. And the comment was more like, you know, that's fine and good that the event that you're at is not the appropriate time to try to create change in your friends, families, and hosts, but how do you ultimately get them to come to the light side, come from the dark to the light, or essentially adopt your ways? And, you know, there in each of the classes, the Eating for Healing classes that I teach, we kind of dive into, okay, you're gluten-free, how do you handle life now? And okay, you're vegetarian, how do you go through that? But in brief, I would say, you know, how do you get them to adopt this lifestyle? It ultimately comes down to kind of what we talked about in the podcast, about thriving in the choices that you're making. So if you really do believe in them and you know that you are healthier for your choices, then live them well and bring delicious examples and allow them to come to this new way, this, you know, enlightened way that you're perhaps living on their own through your example. That's really what it comes down to is, you know, it's all about practice, and there will be ups and there will be downs on the course and the choices that you've made. So sure, you know, maybe at times it's a little more difficult for you to be vegetarian, or maybe it's a little difficult for you to, you know, eat gluten-free or low glycemic or whatever choices you've made. So that's to be expected, but, you know, make some delicious examples, bring them, and just be a good example yourself of living this lifestyle. Because there are a lot of fad style diets and things like that, and they can take people into like a crash sort of program, or you know, repetitious highs and then lows and things like that. So sometimes people just watch you and wait it out, and they want to see if you're going to fail before they take it on with you. So just keep going. Do it for yourself ultimately, and not for other people, and therefore you can keep going whether they join you or not. And then just be that good example, bring delicious examples, thrive doing your best in that arena. And then when they are interested, be ready to give them little samples here and there. A lot of times, you know, in marketing, they talk about broadcasting something 7 times before somebody hears it. So you may be somebody's first of 7 times to introduce them to this notion. So be patient. They may need to hear it a little more often. They may need to watch you succeed first, watch you fail, come back up, before they try to dive in. And they also might be the kind of person who needs to do their own research first. So I hope that helps. It's, you know, each individual thing might have a better specific answer, but I hope that answers that.
Thank you for listening to the Self-Study Project, a podcast to deepen your practice through reflection, with co-hosts Jenna Baird and Stephanie Gibson. Subjects cover holistic health, nutrition, yoga, philosophy, spirituality, astrology, parenting, relationships, conscious living, sustainable practices, and so much more. At no time does this podcast offer medical advice and is for educational purposes only. It remains your decision to pursue any information, and do not hold your hosts or their guests liable. More information available at theselfstudyproject.com.